This message today is going to be about the seed that fell into the good ground. I think you're all aware of the different types of soil, four in all, but the one that really counts is where the seed fell into the good ground and it brought forth fruit. And that's the mark of the real Christian, the real believer. All the others have some kind of experience, hearing, receiving it with joy for a while, the drought, the cares of this life, the thorns that choke them, but it's the seed that fell on the good ground that the Lord Jesus said is the mark of the true believer and the true Christian. Now, all of this is very important to sort out a whole lot of things, because we have many people in this country who call themselves religious and even Christian and sometimes even evangelical, but they live anything but like a Christian. And the Lord Jesus is teaching here that really comes down to the mighty change in our lives, the fruit that we bring forth out of our own Christianity. For example, let's go to verse 15 and compare it with verse 14. Now, verse 15 is the good ground. And the seed in that ground, we are told at the end, that it will bring forth fruit with patience. It will bring forth fruit with patience. Now, in the previous verse, you have the seed that fell among the thorns. And the problem with it is, and it will bring forth no fruit. And so that's what makes the difference. Fruit, no fruit. And if the seed is at work in hearts, doing its miraculous work of conversion, then there will be fruit. That's what our Lord taught in this beautiful parcel, in this parable. Now, if we know anything about Bible doctrine, we will know that there is no heart at all that is good ground. Every heart is stony, every heart is thorny, every heart is like the wayside that is hardened. And therefore, by nature, by natural processes, the seed can be sown and nothing happens. So what is it that makes this heart like good ground? Well, it has to be that a wonderful operation of the Holy Spirit, preparing hearts, making men and women to receive that word by faith. And that word becomes then wonderfully fruitful within their hearts and within their lives. And we're thankful that that work is happening today. We're praying for that in our children. We're praying for that in every hearer that comes along to our church services. And while people will sit with us, open their Bible with us, and in normal times sing with us and enjoy something of the service, what we must pray for is that God doesn't leave them alone to their own hardened ways, to the cares of this life, to be, what's the other one, the drought, that sun that was baking down in the ground and the root just shriveled up. No, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will water, the Holy Spirit will set people free from the cares of this life, and the Lord will do mighty things. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for? Well, that's the message. That's what we're going to look at here today. And I want you to follow with me here. The first thing to look for is the hearing. There can be no new fruit, no new miracle of grace, unless there is the hearing with the ear. Do you ever read those, what might be strange words of the Lord Jesus? Is, if any man hath an ear, let him hear. Well, as I look around, I think everyone's got ears here today. And I'm sure in the company where the Lord spoke that, everybody had physical ears. But he was really saying is, anyone that pays attention, anyone that will really take heed to the message, let him hear. And so we always rejoice when someone says, I want to come and hear the gospel. When someone comes through the doors of the church, whether that's prearranged or just drop in, we rejoice. People want to hear the gospel. That's not natural. An awful lot of people get invitations to church that never come. A lot of people get pleaded with, but they don't come. But you're here. And I pray that you're here. The fact that you're here, that you're ready to hear with an open ear. My, I sound like a poet in all of that. You're here to hear with an open ear. That's grace. That's marvelous. And we certainly rejoice as you come to join with us here today. Now, the people who like the good ground, they respond to the gospel. And to such a believer, they just take great delight in the wonderful message of the gospel. And you know, I can very often tell when someone is receiving the gospel with delight. Sometimes their jaw drops open. Sometimes their face just beams. Sometimes there's the wow experience. Never knew that before. And I rejoice to see the impact of the Spirit of God opening minds and hearts to the message of the gospel. Now, the second thing that we look for is conviction. Conviction. Let's look at that verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. So to hear the word of God effectively, so that it leads to true conversion, there has to be an openness, an honesty to expose your heart and expose your life to this message of the gospel. And these hearers, represented by the good ground, are willing to open up their hearts and say, search me. If there's sin in my life, I need to know. If there's something between me and God, I need to know. If there's something that is condemning me in the eyes of God, warn me about it. Let this be an honest preaching of the gospel, and I must be honest to receive those truths of the gospel. You remember wise Solomon said in the Proverbs, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so it'd be easy just to clam up and cover up and say, well, maybe the preacher was preaching to somebody else, but not me. But in an honest heart, boy, I'm glad I was there to hear that. I never realized that that sin would damn me. I never realized that God would be offended with such a lifestyle. I never realized that I am in the camp of the lost. I'm on the broad road to destruction. And I needed to hear that. And there is a reception of the warnings of the gospel. It's like predicting a storm. And it's not enough just to warn the person about the storm. You need to take action. Hey, the hurricane's coming. Now, we don't get too many hurricanes up in this part of the world, but if you're down there in Louisiana, you probably get them all the time. And nearly every year, they have big hurricanes down there. And the weather reporting stations need to be accurate to warn the population to batten down, get prepared. Get your supplies in. Don't be on the roads at a certain hour and get away from the levees and the beaches. Get into a place of relative safety. It's a word of warning. But if nobody listens, they don't want to really hear that and they want to just ignore it. Well, it's not like the seed falling on the good ground where there is an honest heart. Now, the seed in the good ground is like the heart that receives the good news of the Savior. It's not all warnings. It's also the warm welcome to Jesus, that He is God's eternal Son. And between God the Father and the Son, there is an eternal covenant. There is a contractual arrangement between God the Father and God the Son. God the Father, in His sovereign electing purposes, chooses sinners to life. And He gives everyone in that covenant arrangement whom the Father has chosen, He gives their names to the Son. And the Son, He rejoices in the work now that He is to do to become the Redeemer of those people. And He says, "Thank you, Father, that you have given me the honor to be the Savior of these people. And they're my people. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." And then our Lord Jesus comes into this world incarnated in our nature, our likeness. He is the Savior of men, of sinners. And He comes right down into the humiliation of a stable, dwells among men, and He lives for us. And He goes to the cross to offer up a sacrifice for sin. Now, in this good news of the gospel, it's not only the history that Jesus died on a cross, but it is the message of substitution, that Jesus died on that cross not for Himself, but for us, His people. All whom the Father gave to Him, He took their sins upon His own body. He offered up a sacrifice to make payment, to satisfy the justice of God, so that those people would never taste the wrath of God, that there would be no hell for all the people whom the Father gave, those covenant people that are given to Christ, for whom Jesus dies and sheds His blood. Now, I can see it on your face. I got a lot of good hearers here today. That's the gospel story that we rejoice in. And it's not just a little select text from the Bible. It's that great covenant scheme that God in His eternal love chose in His mercy to come down into this world and redeem sinners. And He sent His Son to be our wonderful, wonderful Savior. Now, when God sends that seed into the good ground, into good hearts, they receive that truth. And they say, "Hey, that's for me. That's the salvation I need. That's the Savior I need." And they open their hearts and they receive that wonderful promise. They put their own name in. That's what you need to do to be a Christian. You've got to put your own name into the promise. And where it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You put your name in there. It's not just a we of the general world's population. It is me and anyone else. Me first. Me, I'm in there. My name's in there. If any man sin, we have a Savior. Any man, that's me. And you've got to put your name in the promise and claim it. Claim it as the good ground would do to receive that word of life. I would be very, very hopeful of anyone that says to me, "You know, I grew up for so many years and I had no clue that God loved sinners the way He does. I had no understanding of what it meant for Jesus to die on the cross. But I have come to realize that He died for me." I would have wonderful hope that that person is ripe for salvation. I would have great hope. That is like the seed falling in the good ground. And you will be saved. You will be saved. Now, the third thing to look for in verse 15 is the one who truly wants to be saved hears the word with obedience. There's an obedience. And it says at the end that having heard the word, keep it. And then to go on to bring forth fruit. Now, it's that keeping of the seed. And if we, personify the seed falling into the ground as a living person and expanding the roots in that, and it's growing and it's on its way to bring forth fruit. When you hear the gospel and that message gets into your heart, you don't push it away. You don't reject it as the rocky ground would or the thorny ground would. You receive it. You let it grow. You let the roots develop. You let it get a grip of your life. You let it become part of you. And so you keep it. And that's what makes you wise in the gospel. Jesus said when he told the parable of the man building his house on the rock versus the sand, that the one building on the rock is the wise person because he not only hears, but he does. He obeys. Now, this is not salvation by works. This is not salvation by merit, by you and your performance. It is simply you responding to the gift of salvation, which is all of grace. But in it, you must act. You must keep the word. And that will bring you to repentance. You must repent. Now, I thought a long time about this, and I wondered, how am I going to get this over? And the best way to tell you or to share this with you is to remind you what the prodigal son did. When he came to himself after he learned those hard lessons, came to nothing, there he was feeding the swine. What did he do? He came to himself, and he did something about it. He thought about his father's home, and he was willing to cast himself into his father's hands. Are you willing to do that? That's the seed in the good ground, obeying the message of the gospel. And you must call out for the Lord to save you. You might say, but is that not me doing a work? No, that's like a drowning man crying out, save me. And it's because you can't swim anymore. It's because you are perishing and you're recognizing that all your own efforts are not going to save you, that you cry out for help. And likewise, the seed sown in the good ground, when it's doing its work and you are receiving that, acting upon that, what are you doing? You're calling out for help. And that's the way you're saved. You call out. There's a prayer involved. In the book of Hosea, it says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. That's a calling on the Lord. You take with you words. So don't just mutter. Don't just say, oh, maybe. Don't say, someday. Take with you words and make that prayer. Make the call. And that is the seed in the good ground, keeping that seed. And you must cast yourself, lock, stock, and barrel, upon the grace and the mercy of God. That's what the sinner does, trusting completely in the Lord. Now, this can be seen in the life of the Apostle Paul. Romans 1, verse 1. I haven't really gotten you to look up many verses today, so I'll ask you to turn to this one. Romans 1 and verse 1. And here is how he introduces himself. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He leaves everything. He's no longer trusting the world. He's no longer trusting Judaism. He's no longer trusting the fact that he's a Benjamite. He's no longer trusting in his circumcision or his own abilities or goodness. He's abandoning them and he's separating himself unto the gospel of God. Because there's only one gospel, there's only one Savior, there's only one way to heaven, and you cast yourself absolutely, completely, and totally unto him. And you will persevere against all oppositions. The birds of the air, the devil, trying to steal away that seat. And he will. He will. He'll try to cast doubts in your mind. He'll try to tell you you're not really a Christian. He'll try to say, well, maybe you were that day, but not anymore. And he'll come with all manner of evil thoughts in your mind to try and destroy the seed in your heart. But the true good ground, that seed is there. It doesn't get stolen away. And in spite of temptations, and in spite of every wicked way, you continue to bring forth fruit. And those other types of ground, there was the cares of this life, the thorns. And no doubt there are many people who reject Christianity because it's going to be too restrictive. It's going to mean I've got to cease from a whole way of pleasure and sin and worldliness. And I'm not willing to give up my sin. That happens. It happens all too often. And it is a big battle. And many people just give up the gospel because of that. Like the seed falling on that stony ground or that thorny ground. And the cares of this life. Making money. Getting a name for yourself. Holding up your worldly reputation. Being popular with friends. And perhaps ill health and other things that might come into it. And they hinder you. And you do not bring forth fruit, but the good fruit, the good ground, perseveres and brings forth fruit. Willing to be done with the world, willing to be a separatist, willing to endure the mockery even of friends, willing to have loss of job, loss of career. All of these things prove loyalty to the Lord Jesus, to put him first. That's what our Lord Jesus is teaching in this parable of the seed in the good ground. It not only hears, must hear, but it not only hears, it keeps and brings forth fruit. What is that fruit like? Well, if someone came to me and said, you know, I used to be so in love with the pleasures of this world, maybe it's the music world. And I'm not going to get into all the ills and wrongs of music. You know them all. But if someone says to me, for Jesus, I'm willing to put it all in the past. I'm willing to be done with all of that. Because I want to live the Christian life. That's the fruit. There's repentance. There's a new life. And doing it for Christ. Not doing it for merit. Doing it for Christ. Because he loved you so much. He died on the cross and bore it all for you. You're willing to separate from the world for him. And that can go down the line of many things. When I was a new Christian, I was involved in the Young Farmers Club in my home area, just within a radius of about 5 miles. There would have been a number of young farmers, and there was this Young Farmers Club, a bit like the 4-H Club in North America. For all intents and purposes, it was seemingly, nothing too serious going on. We had a few drama times and put on presentations. We would visit farms for stock judging and all of that kind of thing. But it wasn't Christian. And there were young people there whose hearts were not for the Lord. And without anyone ever telling me or suggesting to me, Ian, it's time to give it up, I took it on myself. And I remember to this hour, the evening that I said, and they had made me treasurer, by the way. They had made me treasurer of this Young Farmers Club. I can't remember what all that involved, but I was kind of in the inside of the thing. But I remember the evening that I brought the treasury book, and I said, I think you're going to need a new treasurer because I'm now a Christian and I won't be attending. Well, it's a bit like the silence I'm experiencing now. There was silence in that meeting. What made me do that? My Bible. My answer is my Bible. Not a person in the world told me to do that. But let me tell you, it brought me from the direction of the world into greater service for Christ. I'm not going to say that night I was perfectly sanctified or I had some great experience. It was just a matter of obedience. It was obedience, separated unto the gospel. And I took that step of being a witness for Christ. And later on, I invited those friends to come and hear the gospel. Remember that night I preached on John 3:16 for the very first sermon I ever preached? I had some of those young farmers' friends in that meeting. Now, all of this seems very personal and little, but it's the kind of fruit that the Lord is talking about. Separating yourself more and more unto Christ, unto the gospel. A Christian is a lover of holiness and is personally separated from the world. A Christian cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the world and have a testimony for Christ. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, I want to say thank you, Lord, firstly for saving me and giving me the grace to take that step. And there were other steps I had to take. But what about you today? You have heard the word. You have received it. You know it's true. Will you keep it? Will you bring forth the fruit of calling on the Lord personally to save you, and say, Lord, whatever I have to give up in this world to be a disciple of Christ, give me the grace to do it. And you trust the Lord to be your Savior. Would you call on the Lord today to save you? Boys and girls, visitors, friends, would you personally call on the Lord? Take with you words, make it a real prayer, write it out if you must, but cry to God that He will save you and that you will be that seed planted in the good ground that keeps the word and brings forth fruit. Oh, what a change it brings. When Jesus is in your heart, you'll know it. And you'll not be able to hide it. Others will see that you've been with Jesus and He is with you. Let's close in prayer, please. Father, we thank Thee for this time in Your Word. And what a wonderful thing to be born of the Spirit and to be in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for this good seed, the seed of the gospel. And we do pray today that You will work mightily to convert and save. Hear the cries of sinners as they call upon Thee. And, O Lord, have Thy way in every one of our hearts. Bless us for Jesus' sake. And now we pray Thee to dismiss us with Thy blessing. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people, now and evermore. Amen. Amen.